Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Sunrise Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, during which, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please be advised that this conference is being recorded today. I would now like to hand the call over to the speaker today, Mr. Schiller. Mr. Schiller, you may begin.
Good morning to the Sunrise Investor Call. This morning we have communicated an ad hoc release related to the streamlining of the Sunrise organization. My name is Uwe Schiller, Head of Investor Relations. With me on the call are Libor Fonchina, CEO, André Krause, CFO, and Stefan Kern, our Head of Corporate Communication. I would like to hand over the call to Libor. We put on our reports and presentation section two slides related to the ad hoc release from this morning, and Libor will talk you through those ones, and then we are open for your question. Libor, please.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone. So today's announcement is basically in line with our ongoing activities to evolve our organization, to simplify and streamline the organization. It's something that we have initiated already at the beginning of this year, and with today's announcement, we're just putting in place a new simplified organization. So today's announcement is basically that we are putting together the two organizations as well, like your two companies, which was the Sunrise, the residential part and the business part. What that means is we are both on the commercial front end, getting to get synergies out of this joint commercial unit, as well as on the operational side, the same thing, streamlining and being able to further improve our cost structure. What is important to know is with this reduction of headcount, which will be in the size of 175 or 165 FTEs, we are not touching any of our both customer service operations nor frontline, if you will, sales operations, therefore not impacting our ability to serve customers and to continue on with our front end customer acquisition momentum. So the whole reorganization has been also fully aligned with the trade unions and staff committee, fully aligned on the redundancy schemes, and we believe with the step that we're taking, we're putting a fair redundancy scheme in place. This change will be implemented as of end of Q3. It will occur one-off costs of 21 million Swiss francs, and it will also drive a quarterly saving of 5.5 million Swiss francs already in Q4. And we do see a return on this investment in less than 12 months. Now, what is important to know is that all the implementation costs for this reorganization will be fully financed from the cash on balance, and it's not impacting our dividend guidance, which is at least 135 million Swiss francs for 2015 to be paid in 2016. At the same time, also our 2015 adjusted EBITDA guidance remains unchanged. If you look on the page 2 of the slide on our investor page, it basically describes you the four major changes that we have. So basically, we are creating one single commercial organization that continues to focus on RC and DC, account management, but it does gain synergies in the product development side and in the digitalization side. At the same time, we are further strengthening our customer service organization, but combining the residential and business operations will give us some additional synergies also on the leadership level. On the back of this, we have also simplified the decision making or the whole organization. So basically, with this, we have one commercial organization, we have one operation organization, one infrastructure, and a finance organization where it also the wholesale operation is part of, and then the staff functions. With this streamlining and simplification across the areas, we have been able to reduce the management layers, but we're also able to leverage the product development across the units, as well as speed up our digitalization efforts on the back of that. So with this, I would pass it back to Uwe.
Yeah, thanks, Libor. Operator, could you please start the Q&A session? Operator?
Hello?
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash pound key. Your first question comes from the line of Frank Knowles from New Street Research.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for the call. Just one question, actually. I just wonder if you could talk a little bit more about some of the challenges of serving a business and a residential customer base with one organization. I mean, they obviously have quite different needs and so on, and just some of the how you're thinking about that going forward, how you intend to maintain the different levels of service and reliability and so on required from a business customer than a residential, while still streamlining the back office and so on. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for the question. I think it's really important to understand is we're putting this under one leadership. We're not that the two organizations will still continue. And I think as we go along, we will find further synergies. But in this first step, we're basically just putting under the same leadership in order to further leverage the duplication. So what primarily what this does is it avoids the duplication in the back office functions that we had by nearly running two separate companies because we were still had the legacy of the acquisition of Nextira One. And we are just leveraging the opportunity that we have in streamlining it into one Sunrise and therefore being able to reduce the management layers and reduce the number of back office functions. The front end, this is what you were touching, basically account management, the customer service operations, that remains focused on each business segment.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Operator, can you please take the next question?
Your next question comes from the line of Stephen Bishard from Citi.
Hi, yeah. In the last 12 months, I saw that you added 92 FTEs. Does this mean that from now on we should see an end to the gradual increase of staff? My next question would be, 9% of your FTEs is obviously quite a lot. Could you let us know specifically what the biggest portion of these 9% of them work in? And then maybe you say you had to get agreement from trade unions. So have you agreed to a time limit between now and a certain time where there will be no more redundancies?
So let me start first with your first questions. Yes, it's correct that our headcount has gone up, but it's been part of a couple of areas where we have insourced. Just to give you a couple of examples, we've actually increased our customer service operations, especially for the French-speaking region, And we have also, as part of realigning and improving the performance of our partnership with Huawei, re-insourced the front-end engineering group when was it, at the beginning of this year. So we're just, from this perspective, you've seen the increase of the headcount that was, you know, due to, it didn't increase the cost, actually it even optimized it, but it was an increase of the headcount. Second, as I have mentioned, the reduction does not entail and it does not, decrease our ability to serve the customers, nor the account management, as we clearly mentioned that the front end, if you will, the customer interacting functions remain intact. It's primarily the management layers that we have been able to increase the scope of the management across the board, and then the, if you will, more the back office functions across the company where we have eliminated duplication. And then your last point was?
Was it regarding trade unions and the question whether there's any blockage for?
For the future, no, there is. We actually already had a social plan in the agreement with the trade unions. We have agreed that that's a good plan, and we are executing it without any, if you will, future agreements of what happens next. So it's our step into optimizing the organization structure and streamlining it.
Thank you.
Your next call comes from the line of Takis Spilopoulos from Bank Vontobel. Please ask your question.
Yeah, that's Bank Vontobel. Just one question, since you brought this up on slide 2, confirming your guidance for 2015, while not the topic of this call, how should we interpret this? Can this be seen as the recent price plans of one of your competitors so far has not had any material negative impact, or can you maybe talk a little bit about the recent weeks in terms of trading? Thank you.
Yeah, so two things. One is, as you can imagine, this has been long in the pipeline. It's been included as part of our Q2 guidance already. Because we've gone through a long consultation process and a preparation of that already as of Q1 this year. So it has this, the action has nothing to do with the current development on the market, but just maybe to give you a flavor, or we have not actually seen any real change in trading momentum on our side as of the recent salt tariffs. We closely monitor it, but at, if needed, we have different brands to react to it, but at this stage we have not seen any material impact on our trading momentum.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Carola Bardelli from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if the one-off cost is tax deductible, and then maybe given salt was discussed, if you could give us a quick update whether you have had a chance to sit with them or not on the network sharing agreement, if that can be brought into the topic.
Okay, so maybe I do the second part and then I read the first one to Andre. We have actually, as we said, after the management change at Salt, we have put our pilot on back burner, and we have reignited that just basically in the recent weeks. And there are still a number of steps that we need to do within the pilot before we can do the next steps. But it is correct that one has been revived.
Yeah, and on the restructuring costs, those are tax deductible, but in the period they would appear. So firstly, we are actually creating a provision that includes all of the wages and salaries to come under the severance packages that we are agreeing. But as those payments will partially happen and majority will happen this year and partially will happen next year, the tax implication will be over spread over the 2 years.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Sharup Parel from Redburn. Please ask your question.
Morning, everyone. I just wanted to ask about the guidance for this year. Can I just be clear, is the 21 million excluded from that, and is the savings in the fourth quarter included, or do I need to effectively raise my estimates for this year by about 5 or 6 million?
Yeah, thanks for the question. To clarify, so the 21 million restructuring cost will be below adjusted EBITDA. It will be within reported EBITDA, and our guidance was on adjusted EBITDA, and that's why it remains unchanged.
Okay.
And the fourth quarter impact, the benefit that we see this year, was already included with our reiteration of that guidance in the second quarter.
Okay, thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Usman Ghazi from Berenberg. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Great. Thank you for taking the question. I just wanted to ask about the cost savings. So the 5.5 million is just being driven by FTE reductions. Obviously, the streamlining process is a bit broader than just the FTE reduction. So, are the gross savings from the move to digitization actually bigger, and 5.5 million is just referring to the FTE reductions? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Usman. So effectively, the vast majority is people cost driven, but yes, there's also some related cost savings that we will see. A big part of that will also be in CapEx, because one important area is, for example, the product development part, where we see quite some synergies on leveraging similar development activities. But those are part of the CapEx side, so therefore would not appear on the OpEx end. If we look on the OpEx side, then very clearly the vast majority of the savings is coming from the wages and salaries part. There are smaller components on other costs, but not in a material amount.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Vikram Karney from UBS. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thanks. Vikram Karani from UBS. So I've got a few questions. First of all, on the restructuring charges of 21 million, how will be the phasing in terms of cash restructuring for 2015 and 16? And in your definition of 2016 free cash flow that you consider for the payout of 65% in terms of dividend, will you be considering the restructuring charges allocated for 2016? And secondly, in terms of the split of employees, is there any color in terms of the impact on residential and business per se? And I just wanted to understand, in terms of broader signal, is there any kind of ambition over here in terms of business, which you were growing, intending to grow market share? Is there any kind of scale back in terms of that ambition over here? Thanks.
Well, maybe I just take the second part. Vikram, it's in terms of our ambition to grow the B2B segment has definitely not changed. It's actually strengthened, and part of the, if you will, streamlining and focus. We're just taking and focusing in the areas where we see we can and will grow the B2B part. So that we continue on that strategic line, and we believe with the setup that we have now, we will even be able to strengthen that momentum. And on the financials, I'll pass it over to Andre.
Yeah, so first of all, to be very transparent on that, the 21 million, first of all, 75% of that is driven by wages and salaries. There's incremental costs on top of it, which come from outplacement processes and also hardship cases where we have funds available for hardship cases, and there's also other advisory costs included. the cash flow impact of that 21 million will be spread over 2015 and 16. As I said, the vast majority is coming from wages and salaries, and as you can imagine, depending on the tenure that people have with Sunrise, the severance packages do differ. So therefore, the majority of the wages and salary impact, as well as the other costs, is to be expected in 2015 and will be also allocated accordingly on the free cash flow of 2015. And then there will be a certain amount that will be swapped over into 2016, and very likely we will provide more visibility with our Q3 numbers, if that is of greater interest, on how that split actually looks like when we have also more clarity and visibility on this.
That's clear. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jacob Bluestone from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hi there. I've just got one question on gross versus net savings. Just in terms of the savings that you're announcing here, should we expect any other costs to go up in 2016, or is the idea that this goes straight to EBITDA?
So, what we were indicating is that we would come to a cost run rate of about 150 million, starting off with the fourth quarter. I think that cost run rate should be largely stable throughout 2016, but we also said that we're going to provide guidance on 2016 at a later stage. But at this point in time, we would not see bigger reasons why this cost run rate should dramatically change into 2016.
Very clear. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for the name to be announced. You have a follow-up call from the line of Takas Spilopoulos from Bank Bonapea. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, it's Tokis again here. Just a follow-up. If we take 75% of the cost, i.e. 16 million, that gives us 95,000 per head count in terms of one-off or severance, including salaries. What's the percentage of management people in there? I guess the question was asked before, because it sounds like quite a lot, even for even for Switzerland. Thanks.
Well, we're not splitting out the management per se. We just said that we've actually increased the spans of control and therefore included the management. The important part, though, is if you look the social plan that we have, and it's something that has been agreed, is very fair and provides both for severance benefits depending on the years of tenure and also the age of the employees that are being let go, as well as then making sure that they get reintegrated into the job market as fast as possible.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you very much for your time, and wish you all a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.